Praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Looking forward to next week with the kids. You're going to be really blessed. The kids will be running everything next week, so we're looking forward to that. The kids have the same Holy Spirit as the adults. Did you know that? And so they're going to minister to us powerfully, so we're really looking forward to next week and all that the Lord will say and do. Next week. We had an awesome time Tuesday night at the worship night and just a really wonderful time as a church as we gathered Tuesday night and just spent the night in prayer and just were really worshiping the Lord together. So bless you, Caitlin and the team. They led us beautifully on that night. It was just a wonderful time. And bless you too for the Working Bee yesterday. We had a great number of people turn up for the Working Bee and a lot of stuff got done. So bless you for your heart for the church and for the Lord's house and honouring him and each other in that way. So bless you for that. Let's just pray before we open the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome God. You're a great and mighty God. And Lord, this day we just want to honour you, Lord, with every part of our being, Lord, because, Lord, you're worthy of all things. Lord, and as we open your word today, Father, we just pray that you speak deep into each of our hearts, Lord, because you love us so much, Lord, and Lord, we all want to grow in you, Lord. So we open our hearts, Lord, even as we open your word this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this has already been spoken about at communion and what we've just been singing about. We've been talking this year about going deeper and going deeper and deeper in the things of God. And the thing I want to talk about this morning is about being deeper in love with Jesus and what that actually means, what that looks like to be deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. There's a scripture in Ephesians 6:24. It says, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." And I trust that we all here today love Jesus Christ with an undying love. We love him with all our heart. Each of us would love him. And we want to be more and more deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, I trust that this day you'll come and receive Christ and learn what it is to be in love with him. I want to talk about how do we get deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. When we talk about being deeper in love with our Father in heaven, people don't seem to have a problem with that. When we have a picture of our Father in heaven, and however you picture the Lord as a loving Father with open arms stretched there and something about running up to your Father in heaven and giving him a hug and that loving embrace and to be deeply in love with your Heavenly Father. But relating to Jesus, how do we relate to Jesus, being deeper in love with Jesus? And the reason I want to talk about this is because I know for some people, when they relate to their Father in heaven, and they've got a picture of doing that, but some relate to Jesus in a different way. And I remember I went to, particularly for men, a lot of the songs we're singing about deeply loving Jesus, Jesus, lover of my soul, and being in love with Jesus. And I remember I went to a men's conference and the speaker there, and obviously there's all us men there at this men's conference, and he was talking about how a lot of the songs that we sing, aren't really good for men to sing. You know, Jesus, lover of my soul, and a whole lot of things he was saying that the songs about Jesus, I love you, and loving Jesus, and he was saying that wasn't really a good thing for men with those songs. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, mate, I think you've actually just missing the whole point. Because it's what your image is. It's when we picture, I don't know how you picture God. And you don't necessarily have to picture him at all to worship the Lord. So I said, having a Father in heaven that loves us. But how do you picture Christ? And it's different for men and women when they're relating to Jesus. It can be, it really shouldn't be. But for some it is. And for some guys, they struggle about singing these love songs to Jesus because they have this image of Jesus there as a man, as a human man, and think, well, I can't really relate to that. I can't really, you know, lover of my soul if I think of him as a bloke, you know. That, and some guys do that. And that's why some men find it harder to enter into worship because of this preconception or this image, this picture that they have of Christ and worshiping Jesus Christ. But for some women, it can be easier because, if they think of Jesus as a man, and as they think of him there, then they think, okay, that's okay, and they can worship him and love him in that way. But see, that can go the other way as well. When I was young and at the other church that I was at, the first church that I grew up in, and I was a young pastor there, I had a woman come to me and wanted to see one of the pastors. I was there. She came in, this woman would have been late 50s, early 60s, and she said that she has a problem because every time that she's praying, that she actually gets turned on. And I'm thinking, man, you know, like that there's something not right here. Because, her picture of Jesus is this lover man, and somehow it just got twisted around in her mind. And so there can be a couple of extremes with blokes. They can't worship Jesus because, you know, I'm a bloke, and if he's a man, you know, how can he be the lover of my soul, and find that hard? And then some women who can have this over-romantic type of infatuation almost with Jesus, with this picture that they have. And so there can be extremes in there, and we've got to make sure that we don't want to fall into that, that we want to be able to go deeper in Jesus, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, that we are deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we need to do that is that when Jesus came to this earth, he came as a man. He was fully God and fully man, the scripture tells us. So he by being fully man, he had a physical body. He ate, he slept, he did all the things. He had the struggles that we have, the temptations that we face, he had. Of course, he was without sin. That was the difference. Christ was without sin. He never sinned. He never yielded to any temptation. But that's why the scripture says we have a high priest who understands our temptation, because he came and he saw the things and experienced the things, but he didn't give in to that. He was without sin. He was the sinless Christ. So he was fully man, but also he was fully God. And one of the things is it's important that if we really want to go deeper with Jesus, that we actually begin to see Jesus as really as he is. And actually see him for who he is, if you want to go deeper into him. Now, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he wasn't like an actor, you know, that think, oh, wow, someone's really good looking. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And so that's the prophet Isaiah. That 700 years or so before, prophesying about the Christ. And so there was nothing about Jesus physically that was going to draw people to him. That, wow, you know, look, you're just everything perfect. No, he was just an average-looking guy. I'm sure he's a pretty strong guy. He would have been very strong because he was working with wood. He was a carpenter. So he wasn't little, weak, little, wimpy, mild Jesus. He was strong, powerful, mild, meek Jesus. But there was nothing in his appearance that would draw people to him. In itself. And so one of the things, if you want to go deeper, yes, he was human, but you've got to see Jesus beyond his humanity. That when you picture Christ, do you only ever picture him in a human form? Do you picture him walking down, if you've seen in many of the movies, walking down the streets and healing the sick and the lepers and all of those things? And certainly those images are what we have in the Gospels. That's what we have in the scripture. But when we're worshipping the Christ, we're not worshipping the one who's walking through the streets. We're worshipping the one who went to the cross and rose again and who is glorified in eternity. That's the one that we are worshipping. And so we want to see beyond that. And even John, you know, John was one of the disciples, and the scripture describes him as the one that Jesus loved. Now, so he was obviously very, very close to Jesus. Now, the scripture uses that phrase about a couple of different times. It talks about Lazarus. It says, you know, it talks about Lazarus, the one that Jesus loved. So he obviously was very close to him, and also with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He was close there. There was an intimate bond with John and Jesus. And it tells us in John 13, and this is the time when, Jesus is coming and Judas is coming up to the time where he's going to betray Jesus, betray him. It says, one of them in John 13:23, one of them, the disciples who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Now, the picture is not just they're sitting down, and they're not probably at a table. Most likely they're just sitting on the floor, but they may have been around the table. A seat around the table, or might be just reclining on the floor around the table. Most likely just a low table and just reclining on the floor. And it says there that in the NIV it says Jesus was sitting next to him, reclining next to him. But if you read the King James, or if you read some other translation, it says Jesus was leaning on him. But the Greek word actually says it was resting his head in his bosom. So it means that Jesus is sitting there and John is sitting next to him in a very intimate position with his head against Jesus, just reclining there around this Last Supper, around this meal. But see, one of the things with John in that situation there, see, John was not lying against Jesus, the man. He was seeing far beyond his humanity. He was against the Creator, the saw beyond his humanity into who he was, as he was God. He was God down in human flesh. And he had an intimate relationship. Yes, he was a man, and not intimate as in a perverted sense intimacy, but a closeness, and because he saw Jesus as he really was. And that's how we've got to see Jesus. If we want to go deeper with Jesus, we've got to look beyond the humanity which was displayed to us to see him in his divinity, to see him now as the risen Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is above all things. You need to see Jesus properly if you want to go deeper with him. The other thing that we need to do if we want to go deeper with Jesus is actually see him beyond having just a sense of gratitude. Because we are grateful. I mean, we've just celebrated communion. We are so grateful that Jesus Christ gave his everything for us, that he died on the cross in our place for our sin. And man, we are grateful. And if you're not grateful, get grateful, because he gave everything that we could be in relationship with our Father. And so we are certainly very grateful for him. But if we want to go deeper in love with Jesus Christ, our relationship has to be based on more than just on the basis of what he has done for us. That it's just, Lord, I'm so grateful, therefore I love you. It needs to be at a deeper level than just, as I say, gratitude. I'm indebted to you. You know, you've done everything for me. You know, I better love you. It's far more than that, far deeper than that, a deeper intimacy than that that he wants us to have. We want to see beyond his humanity, but also have a relationship beyond more than what he has done. Because even if he never did anything for us, he's worthy of love, he's worthy of honor because of who he is. But he did everything for us. Now, the only reason that we are able to love him, it says in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. And really, without him, we wouldn't really know what love is. We'd obviously have no idea. And he's demonstrated such a love for us by going to the cross, dying in our place for our sin, taking the punishment that each and every one of us deserved, sacrificed himself, he's the sinless Christ, taking our sin that we don't have to get punished for our sin, got punished for our sin himself rather than us having to be punished for our sin. And so we of course, are very grateful for that. But we want to see beyond more than just what he has done for us. Our relationship, we want to have far deeper than that. But we do love him because he first loved us. That's when we discovered who he was. We discovered this incredible love. And it tells us in 1 John 3:16 that this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And so we wouldn't even really know what love was. He showed us what the standard was. The standard was total sacrifice. He gave everything for us. An act of love, a demonstration of God's grace and Jesus' love for us, that he died on the cross for us. And so to go deeper with him, what we want to do is look beyond his humanity. When you think of Christ, I don't actually picture a man walking around. I actually don't even picture him at all. I just love Jesus with all my heart and just know him in such a way, to just love him for who he is and yes, grateful for all that he has done, but to love him in that way. But that's the heart. We want to grow and go deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ. So don't let the fact that, yes, Jesus came as a man. Now, if he didn't come as a man, then there's no cross, there's no salvation, there's no point to anything. So it's very critical that Jesus Christ came as a man. But our relationship with him is not as a man. It's as the risen Savior. And really, the description that if you really want to see what Jesus is like, open the book of Revelation and you'll see how Jesus described in his ascended form and his glory and his majesty. Wow! He's awesome and worthy and honored to be praised and to be loved with all our heart. And so we want to see beyond his humanity, but we want to have a love that is simply deeper than a real heartfelt gratitude. We want to have a deeper love in Christ with that. I want to spend a moment just having a look at a book in our Bible called the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. I always grew up calling it the Song of Solomon. But in translations, they call it the Song of Songs, and it really has both names. In the Hebrews, they used to call it the Song of Songs. And by calling it the Song of Songs, that meant it was the ultimate. Because when they were describing stuff in their language so that they wouldn't say the most magnificent thing, they would repeat the noun, they would repeat it twice. So Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. It means he is the ultimate. And the Song of Songs is the ultimate. And out of something like 1003, it tells us songs that, or poems or songs that King Solomon wrote. This is the Song of Songs. This is the one. This is the one that's given preeminence. In fact, the Jewish people place this very, very high right up there in their books. They read it, sections of it, every Passover, and it's really placed in high prominence. And it's an interesting book. When you read the Song of Songs, very interesting book. It's one of two books in the Bible where God's not even mentioned once. The other one's Esther, but there's no mention of God in the Song of Songs at all. In fact, if you read through it, and here it is, it's about nearly halfway in your Bible, and it's a very interesting book, and not a lot of times people speak about it or preach from it because it's quite graphic in its content. It's very sensual. It talks about touch. It talks about seeing. It talks about the sounds and tastes and a whole lot of things. And it's a very powerful in what it says. And it's a very powerful passage in the scripture, but doesn't mention God. Basically what it is, it's a story of intimacy between a man and a woman. And I won't tell you the whole story. You can read it yourself, but it's of this young woman who was tending her brothers had vineyards. She was given a vineyards, and she was made to do all the work, look through the housework, look after all the vineyards, and so much so looking after all the brothers' stuff, she didn't even look after hers. Her skin became darker and darker and darker, and in that culture, that wasn't a good thing for them in their culture. They wanted to be white, as in some countries these days, they spend billions of dollars making themselves white. Us who people are all really white, we want to get darker. We don't want to burn. But anyway, in their culture, it wasn't a good thing. And so her chance of getting married was going down. The darker and darker she's getting from working in the fields, she meets this young guy, this shepherd guy, and they talk and they have a couple of meetings, talk, get to know each other, all desperately in love with one another, And then he announces that he's got to go back. He's going. And so he'll come back and he'll come back and he'll marry her and carry her away. And so she's there hopeful. She has a couple of dreams within it, dreaming that his hand's coming through the door, but she's in like one of those dreams where you know, have you ever had a dream where you sort of can't move and can't do anything, and when she sort of wakes up or whatever, he's gone, oh, it was a dream. She has a couple of dreams in there, and each of them sort of worried, is he ever really going to come back for me? And then she sees all this dust coming. She sees all these chariots and horses and whoever it is, that it's King Solomon and all his procession coming. And this guy who was a shepherd was actually King Solomon. Now, he was just taking time off, and as some of the monarchy like to do, go to their country place or whatever. And so, anyway, it's a beautiful love story. And he comes and takes her to the palace, and then she feels all insecure because there's other queens as well, and comparing herself to them, and says, oh, don't look at me, I'm dark in my skin because of the... And he keeps reassuring her, no, I love you, and his heart is for her, and it's a powerful love story. But it is, as I said, it's quite graphic in its content, and some people think it's an allegory. An allegory is where there's a made-up story which has a hidden meaning. Well, it's quite clear that it's not an allegory. It's not a made-up story with a hidden meaning, but really what it is, it is, number one, it affirms the relationship between man and a woman. It's very affirming in that a healthy relationship, husband and wife, man and woman, together. But also it is actually an analogy, which is different from an allegory because that's a made-up story. An analogy is where you have something that's true, that is factual, and you compare one factual thing to another factual thing to help you understand that other factual thing better. That's what an analogy is. And really, that's what this passage is. This passage is an analogy, and it actually gives us a picture of the Lord's heart for us. It gives us a picture. For the Jews, they really saw that in the Old Testament, particularly in the Old Testament. It talks about, they see it as the relationship of God and Israel. And in the New Testament, as when we read this, we see this as an analogy of Christ's love for his bride, his church, of which we are a part of that. So it is very powerful. You don't have to read a whole lot of hidden meanings into it. Try to interpret it all. It is what it is. The graphic descriptions are what they are. There's no sort of hidden meanings, but it is an analogy describing, if you can understand the love of this young couple, their heart and passion for one another, then that'll give you a bit of a picture of Christ and his love for you, his love for us. And Paul, when he's talking about marriage, he says, well, marriage is a mystery. Actually, it really is a picture of Christ and the church as well. So he affirms that. So I want to just delve a little bit moment into parts of this about going deeper in love with Jesus, because it's a great analogy. It helps us understand what it is to have a really deep love with Jesus Christ. So you put aside humanity, put aside that, you put aside just being grateful and going deeper into a love for Christ. One of the first passages I want to read in Solomon's 2:16, and it says this: my beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine and I am his. And you've all sung that song, my beloved is mine and I am his, and his banner over me is love. And so my beloved is mine and I am his. And one of the things is when we become a Christian, we realize that Jesus is mine, that Jesus died on the cross for me. He died for everyone, but he died for me. My beloved is mine and I am his. You know, I belong to him now, but he's mine. He's mine. He died for me. He didn't just die for you. He died for me. And so there's a sense that he is mine. And there's a beginning of an understanding of a relationship there, that he loves me so much that he died on the cross for me, that he doesn't have to prove it to me anymore. Doesn't have to do anything else. Even if nothing ever went good for me my whole life, if nothing ever else happened, God doesn't have to prove anything. Jesus doesn't have to prove anything. He's already done it once and for all on the cross. He proved himself completely when he gave everything for me on the cross with his love. My beloved is mine and I am his. And so we want to see Jesus as he is, as the one who loves us with such a passion. And certainly we want to see him as he sees us. How does Jesus actually see you? Because sometimes it's harder for us to go deeper with Jesus is because our own humanity rises up. Even if we try to put aside his humanity and just see him in his divinity and honoring him and loving him as he is, our own humanity will come up. Our own sense of failure can come up. Our own weaknesses. You know, if I blew it this week, I lost my temper this week, or whatever it was this week. Our own human weaknesses can try to rise up. And because we see ourselves in a bad light, we always tend to be our own worst critics. Is that true? You're your own worst critic? I think most people are. I think we all are. We always give ourselves such a hard time. We wouldn't give someone else such a hard time. It's okay, you know, it's this or that. And for ourselves, man, we go to town. We give ourselves such a hard time. And out of that sometimes, by doing that, that can actually impact our relationship with Jesus and getting intimately deeper and deeper with him. And so we want to put aside some of those things, because we think sometimes, as we see our own failures, we see our own wretchedness, we see our own brokenness at times, and we think that when he sees us, he sees that too. And therefore, what we can do is tend to be a little bit shy or just a little bit timid or hold back just a little bit because we look at our own weaknesses and our own failures and think, yeah, I know he loves me because he died on the cross for me, and I'm so grateful for that. But how can he really love me deeply? Because I still see in myself, you know, as it said, my skin is dark, as it said in Solomon, or I see some weaknesses in me, or whatever it was perceived to be. But and therefore, that can become a barrier for us going deeper in the things of the Lord. But how does Jesus see us? What's his heart to us? If we can grab a hold of that, then we would be able to go deeper with him. And to be that intimate with him. It says in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14, It says, my dove in the clefts of the rock. So he's writing this to you. In the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And so that's the heart of Jesus. Jesus just, you know, like sometimes you struggle, if you struggle to pray or have time or whatever, you know, Jesus, his heart is, he's saying, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. You know, he has this ardent passion. He just wants to show me your face. Come and spend time. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice because your voice is so sweet to me and your face is so lovely. We think, well, we're disfigured or with malformed or whatever. He says, oh, no, I just love the sound of your voice. You know, some people don't sing when worship because they don't like their own voice. They think, oh, I mean, they sound good. I sound like a cat being strangled or whatever it is. The scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because to him, that strangled cat is a sweet sound to him. It's a sweet sound to him. And don't worry about anyone else. You're never singing to impress anyone else. You're singing to impress him. And so he's the one who says your voice is sweet. So we don't have any strangled cats, amen? So don't worry about what your voice sounds like. You can worship him with everything that you are because your voice is lovely. It's sweet to him. And your face, he just wants to see your face. He just wants to see you. He just wants to, but come on, be with me. That's the Lord's heart. He says in Solomon chapter 4 verse 7, it says, there is no flaw in you. No flaw in you. Now, not flaw that you're standing on. There's nothing imperfection in you. Nothing, no imperfection in you in any way. If I was giving you a list of paper and I said, all right, I just want you to sit down here and I'll want to write you a list of all your bad points and all your good points. I guarantee if you wrote a list of your bad points, it's probably going to be 10 times longer than your good points, yeah? Not because we're bad people, it's just that we always see ourselves in such a way and we think of all our bad things and all our faults and we're mindful of that. And because we can be mindful of that, as I said, that can be a barrier in having a deep relationship with Jesus. But what does Jesus say? He says, there's no flaw in you. You are completely perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. You're perfect in every way. Because of what he's done on the cross, because of his sacrifice, because his blood was shed, washed away all the rubbish, washed away every imperfection. When he looks at you, he looks at us with such a delight and says, there's no flaw in you. And so we don't have to feel, oh no, how can I, you know, talk to the Lord, or how can I be deep and intimate with the Lord? How can I bear my soul and my heart with him because I've got all this? No. He sees us as flawless, as perfect, and that's his description of us. And in Solomon chapter 4 verse 9, it says, you have stolen my heart. Wow. Stolen my heart. And you know what it is, if you know what it is to be in love, you know, for those who, I have a beautiful wife and she stole my heart and she still got it. And she'll have it until I die and she dies. She's got my heart. And she stole my heart. And we think, Lord, Lord, here you are. I give you my heart. Well, I'll tell you what. You've already stolen his. He's already desperately in love with you. You've stolen his heart. He just thinks about us all the time. How numerous are your thoughts concerning me, the scripture says. Psalm 149, he thinks about us all the time. He can't get us off his mind. He loves us so much. We've captivated his heart. We have his full attention. You know, I remember when Mariel and I were first going out and here I am, I'm supposed to be at work. And all I'm thinking of is her. I'm like, no, quick, got to work, got to do my work. And then I'm, oh, Mariel, no, I've got to work, got to work. But the Lord is like that. He's thinking about you all the time. He just can't get his mind off you. You've captured his heart, and so much he just wants you to love him and to pour his love into your heart. He wants you to go deeper and deeper. You've stolen my heart. And then in Song of Songs, verse 6:3, we see there's a progression here, because the beloved, the one who is beloved, it says, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. And so originally it was, my beloved is mine and I am his, but it sort of switched the focus a little bit. Now, I'm my beloved's. He's just captivated by me. He loves me. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. And what a wonderful thing it is to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. I'm completely yours, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, the way that you love me, Lord, the way that you look at me, that you see me as flawless, that I've stolen your heart, that you long to hear my voice, long to hear your voice. He longs to hear your voice, longs to see your face. He's just captivated by us in every way. I am my beloved's. And my beloved is mine. And really, to be deeper in love with Jesus, as I said, we need to, first of all, look beyond just picturing him in his humanity. Don't relate to him as a man. Relate to him as who he is, the one who is above all things, the name with the name above all things, and to love him. But to love him in a deep and intimate way, beyond what he's done for you. More than just being grateful, oh, I love him because of what he's done. No, far deeper than that. Far deeper than that. And all the preconceptions that we have of ourselves which become a barrier before us freely running to him. Let those things fall away, because there's nothing. He sees us as perfect and he is totally captivated with us. So what we want to be is people that carry with us this deep sense of abiding with the Lord, this deep sense of him always being there with us. It says in Solomon 2, Song of Solomon, as I grew up calling it, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 13. Arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And that's the Lord's heart to us. He's saying, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And so there's that wooing, the Lord wooing us and saying, come on. Come on, my beautiful one, my precious one, the one that I love so much. Come and spend this time with me. And spending time with the Lord is a really important thing to do. If we want to go deeper, then we've got to spend time with him. We've got to spend time with the Lord. And remember that he's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's longing to hear your voice. He's longing. You know, even you worship at home, you can... to him, wow, sounds beautiful. The sound of your voice, oh, you're worshiping me, you're loving me. You know, he longs to see our face. He wants us to spend time with him. He just loves us so much. He says, arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And the Lord is just wooing you, say, come on, come and spend time with me. Come and spend time with me. Now, Jesus says in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus, actually, he spent time with his Father, and he spent time where he withdrew and was praying. But see, it's so important that we grab a hold of this stuff, because if you think that being a good Christian is coming to church and reading your word and that's what it's about, it's far more than that. You're just scratching the surface. Those things give oxygen, but they're not the life. The life is living in that deep intimacy with Christ. That's what it's about. And why do we have to spend time? I tell you what happens for all of us. We live in a world and you've got stuff happening all around. You've got pressures and things going all the time. And there's times where we just can get, you know, our own emotions can rise up, our thoughts, all the problems, all these things that are going on. And we just need to center ourselves. We just need to focus ourselves again. We need to put ourselves back into that balance. And therefore, we need to spend that time with the Lord and actually put things back in the right order, the right way that they should be. And so spending time with the Lord is really important. But see, it's beyond even that, though. It's beyond than just spending time. Because again, we might think, look, I'm doing really well because I go to church. Amen. Hands up if you go to church. I can tell you, you're at church, for those who don't know. You're actually at church. All right, so you go to church and you read the word and you spend time with Jesus and you think, man, here we go, that's 10 out of 10. It's actually deeper and far more than that. Now, Jesus, he had times where he withdrew because he had crowds of people who were following him all the time, people following him all the time, and he just needed those times where he could just still himself and just be able to communicate with his Father in heaven and just open his heart and just be refreshed in the presence of his Father. He needed to do that because there was a lot of demands on him. People, crowds wherever he went, people in need always drawing from him, and so he needed that. But see, what Christ carried with him was something that really, if we want to walk deeper in love with Jesus Christ, is he had this sense of abiding. He had this sense that his Father was always with him every moment of every day. Scripture tells us that everything he did because he saw the Father doing. All the things he said is because the Father told him to say those things. He was conscious all the time that the Father was with him, because such was the deep, intimate relationship between the Son and the Father that he carried that all the time. And really, that's what we want to come to with Jesus, that we carry this sense of a deep abiding with him. It's not just those moments when you're at church. It's not just the moments when you sit down and you pray and you spend some time, but it's every moment of every day carrying this sense that he is there. He's always there. He's always there. And he's always pouring his love there. We can just touch his heart at any time. That sense of abiding that he is always with us. He's always there with us. That's how he wants us to know that we're deeply in love with him. And he's always there. He's always there walking with us hand in hand. He's close by our side every moment. He's intimately connected to us. He's close to us every moment. That's where we want to live our lives, to walk in such a way. Do I live like that every... No, I don't. Because there are times, like all of us, where things happen and whatever, and then, but to find that, to recalibrate, if you like, to find that time again, is you spend that time again, and then you have that time, and that sort of reorientates you, it gets your focus right, it helps put everything in perspective, but then you don't leave that moment and then go back into the chaos of everything else. But a lot of people do that. They have a little oasis of time with God in the middle of the chaos of their life and their week, and then the rest of the time is chaos again, and they run around. And some people who don't even spend time, the only time they have is when they actually go to church, and they think they come to church for a top up, fill the tank to get in for the week. You've got no idea if that's what you think. It's not that at all. It's not about getting a shot in the arm to get me through the week. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's a part of coming together and celebrating together, but in intimate worship and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's far more about that. And the same with your time that you spend with the Lord. It's not, again, it's not a recharge time. It's a recalibration time. The idea is that what we experience in that time when you're worshiping and just loving the Lord with all your heart and just opening your heart with him is that sense of the Lord with us. We live like that all the time, that we carry it with it. Now I'm not there, as I said, because what'll happen, my own emotions will rise up or whatever, and then I have to... But it's where we want to go deeper. That's what we want to walk deeper in, where we carry that abiding sense of the Lord with us every moment of every day. And I'm growing in that, and I'm learning in that, and probably more of that than not now. When I was younger Christian, it was probably... But as we go deeper... And deeper, there's that abiding sense that he is actually there with us. And yep, sure, like all of us, I need to have times to think, hang on a minute, I just got to focus again. Lord, you know, forgive me, got a bit carried away. Lord, I just want to still my soul. Lord, I just want to love you. And I can tell you there's something about prayer. Now, this corporate prayer, which is very powerful, and the scripture tells us to pray together, to come together to pray. We come together to lift holy hands and to do those things. But when you're praying in a deep way, to me, I actually see it feel a very intimate thing. And if I don't like to be disturbed, and it's the same as like a husband with a wife. You don't want anyone walking in on you. I feel the same way when I'm praying, because it's a personal, it's an intimate thing. And it's not between you and anyone else. It's no one else's business. This is between me and my Lord, and that time of just loving and talking and then to carry the sense that he's always with us. And that's what it is to be deeper in love with Jesus. That's what we want to be. Jesus walked with that abiding sense of the Father. And yes, he withdrew from the crowds every now and again because he just wanted to have that time with him and the Father. But he always walked with a sense of the Father. I and the Father are one. He always carried that in his heart. We've got Christ within us, the hope of glory, and to walk in that deep abiding with him. If we really want to have gone deeper this year, that's really what we're working towards. That's really being deeper. Deeper is. It's to be so deeply loved with Jesus and to carry that abiding sense with us every moment of every day. Now, I'm not there yet, as I've said, but I'm learning more and getting deeper in that. And my challenge to all of us is that we go deeper and deeper into that love that Christ has for us. He loves us so much. So much. He's desperate to see your face. Desperate to see your face. Desperate to hear your voice. And, you know, and even if it's just a list of requests, at least you opened your mouth. At least you spoke to him. But far more than just the list, just the sharing of your heart and just knowing his love and just that drawn into his presence. It's just a wonderful, powerful thing. And I believe the Lord is saying to each of us, he's calling us, he's saying, arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Come with me. Let's spend time. And if you find that you're not walking like that, then and you're coming to church, well done. Good start. That time where you're recalibrating yourself and just spending that time. But the challenge is to carry that sense right through. And that's to be deep in love with Jesus, to know his love and to know his heart. And to carry with you a confidence, look, doesn't matter. At the end, I'll get through everything because he's with me. He's with you. He's with every one of us. And we will always get through. And it says in Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 10. See, originally it said, my beloved is mine and I am his in 2, verse 16. In 6:3, it says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. But then finally it comes to the point in Song of Songs 7:10, it says, I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me. And to come to that place saying, to know that the Lord is so captivated with us, we don't have to struggle, we don't have to strive. It's not about us trying to make ourselves right, trying to make ourselves good enough. It's to know that he loves us completely, totally, passionately, longing for us, and just wants us to walk in that, to be deeper in love with him. And that's what I believe the Lord is challenging us. We're going through this year about going deeper, and there's many areas about dedication and commitment and all the different things that we've talked about. But ultimately, to be deeper in love with Jesus and to carry that abiding sense of him every moment, every day. That's really what it is, to be deeper with Jesus, deeper in the things of God. So let's stand and pray. I want to pray for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come before you. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that when we see you, Lord, we don't just see a man walking this earth. Lord, we look at you, Lord, the risen Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is totally above all things, whose name is above all things, the one who defeated sin and death, who rose again from the dead. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are high and lifted up, Lord. But Lord, we want to relate to you, Lord, more than just out of gratitude, Lord, because we are grateful, Lord. We are so grateful for what you've done. But Lord, we don't want to relate just on the level of gratitude. Lord, we want to have a deep love with you, a deep sense of going deeper with you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you help us to know, Lord, how you see us. Lord, that every barrier, every excuse, everything that we put between us, Lord, that you don't see anything, Lord. You see us as flawless, Lord, that you long to hear our voice. Lord, that your heart is for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for each of us, Lord, that we will spend time, Lord, because we do need to calibrate ourselves. We need to realign ourselves, Lord. We need to center ourselves again. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that. But more than that too, Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will carry that deep, abiding sense of you with us. Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, and we love you. What a wonderful thing it is to be loved by you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. Just say that. Just say those words. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. Say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you so much, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you love me. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. So, Father, I pray that you will deepen us all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. If you need a prayer this morning, be happy to pray with you on this side. Praise God.